Welcome to our study of Nach Yomi. This is Rabbi Joshua Maruf, and we're going to be covering the first perek of Sefer Yehoshua, the first book of Navi, which discusses the appointment of Yehoshua, or the assumption of leadership of Yehoshua, after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Yehoshua has one of the most difficult prophetic tasks before him. Most Nevi'im, most prophets, are selected on their own merits, independently. They have a message to convey, they have a purpose to achieve. But Yehoshua is really selected only because of the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in theory, would have completed the entry into the land of Israel. He would have settled the Jews in their new homeland, and he would have apportioned the land to the various tribes. In other words, he would have been in charge of the conquest. So essentially, everything that Yehoshua does over his life is completing the task of Moshe Rabbeinu. He is closing out the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu, the components of the tasks of Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not able, not allowed, not permitted by Hashem to complete. So the Navi opens by saying, "Vayi acharei mot Moshe eved Hashem," after the death of Moshe, the servant of Hashem, Hashem speaks to Yehoshua, "Misharet Moshe," the servant of Moshe. So in other words, the contrast here is clear. It's only after the death of Moshe, who was really the servant of Hashem par excellence, that Yehoshua is selected. Yehoshua is selected by virtue of his being Misharet Moshe, the one closest to, most familiar with, most connected to Moshe as an individual, but essentially only as an extension of Moshe. And then we have a rehashing of basics that we are already familiar with, that they're going to enter, the Jews are going to enter, they're going to cross the Jordan River, they're going to enter the land, and every place that they step will be become theirs. Ka'asher dibarti el Moshe, Hashem says to Yehoshua, you will cross over the Jordan River and everything that you step on will become yours, as I told Moshe. Me'am midbar v'halevanon hazeh, from the desert and the Levanon until the great river of Euphrates, all the land of the Chittim, until the Mediterranean Sea on the west will be your borders. So in other words, this is describing the borders, the outline of Eretz Yisrael, as we already know it from the Torah. Much of Sefer Yehoshua will deal with the details and specifications of precisely how the borders were drawn, particularly amongst the tribes, but that's for later. Right now, the key is that the refrain of Moshe Rabbeinu, the emphasis on Moshe Rabbeinu, that Yehoshua is going to do just as Hashem spoke to Moshe. Lo yitzev ish lefanecha kol yemei chayecha kasher hayiti Moshe eyeimach. Nobody will stand up against you or contest your leadership. As I was with Moshe, I shall be with you. Lo arpecha v'lo aezeka. So, again, the concept that you are, in a way, the extension of Moshe. As Rashi quotes the Midrash, had Moshe still been alive, I wouldn't have wanted you. I wouldn't have selected you. Chazak ve'ematz, be strong and be courageous, because you will cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. And again, rak chazak ve'ematz, but you must be strong and courageous me'od, very much. L'shmor la'asot kechol ha'Torah asher tzivcha Moshe avdi, to guard and to do according to the entire Torah that Moshe, my servant, commanded you. Al tasur mimeno yamin u'smol. You should not deviate from it right or left. Leman taskil, so that you should succeed b'chol asher telech. And of course, in Hebrew, taskil means both to understand, to comprehend, and to succeed. Because one who acts intelligently, one who acts with forethought, with planning, using the divine gift of sechel, the divine gift of intellect that Hashem bestowed upon us, is the one who is going to succeed. In all that you do, you will succeed. It's fascinating that not only does Hashem have to command Yehoshua to be strong with respect to the people, with respect to standing up and guiding them and leading them and executing the conquest of the land of Israel and settling them in their land, he also has to give him extra musar, extra chizuk, extra encouragement to study and to keep the Torah. If anybody's going to study and keep the Torah, you would think it would be Yehoshua himself, the primary disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet he's given extra emphasis here on the importance of study and observance of Torah. Lo yamush sefer Torah zeh mipicha. This Sefer Torah, this book of Torah, should not leave your mouth. Ve'agita bo yomam v'layla. You should reflect upon it, contemplate it day and night. Le'man tishmor la'asot kechol ha'katuv bo, so that you will be careful to do like all that is written in it. Ke'az tatzliach derachecha ve'az tatzkil. For then shall you be successful in your way, or shall your way be successful. and then you will understand, or you will be accomplished, depending on how you understand the term taskil. Here, the words tatzliach and taskil are separated, indicating a slightly different nuance. Tatzliach could be referring more to the practical outcome of success. Taskil is more to the intellectual, to the aspect of understanding, comprehension, planning, that Yehoshua will be able to have a vision of his future, of his task, of his mission, if he studies the Torah carefully. And then again, behold, I have commanded you to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid, because Hashem will be with you in everywhere that you go, in all that you do. So it's interesting to note that Yehoshua needs to be exhorted, needs to be reminded to study and to observe the Torah, to carefully study it, to carefully pay attention to it. And it seems that the reason here could be, we can understand on a relatively simple level, that Yehoshua is being asked almost to do the impossible, to step into the shoes of Moshe Rabbeinu, to assume his leadership, to carry his mantle, to continue his legacy, and to complete it. And Yehoshua is faced with a great challenge. On one hand, he needs to be the autonomous, the courageous, the bold leader, the independent one, the creative one, the inspiring one. But at the same time, he needs to be kafuf, he needs to be subordinate to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Torah that's already been given, to the plans that have already been laid. He needs to bridle and restrain his creativity, his independence, his autonomy. So he's in a very difficult place here, a very difficult position. So just as Hashem tells him to be strong in going out to battle, to feel courageous, and to feel assertive, he also has to tell him not to forget to study the Torah, not to forget to stay on the program, not to forget that his job is to preserve and to carry out the legacy and the vision of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to substitute it with his own, as tempting as that might be when one becomes a strong and influential and powerful leader. Yehoshua's greatness is that he doesn't veer from the Torah of Moshe. And then Hashem concludes with another exhortation to strength, that last but not least, Yehoshua must be strong in his presentation to the people, in his dealing with the people, not just when he goes out to war to face enemies, but in his conducting of domestic affairs as well. Then the Navi goes on to describe how Yehoshua takes care of a couple of practical issues. First of all, he readies the people for their crossing of the Jordan to go into the land of Israel, which he tells them will be in 3 days. He instructs the shoterim, he instructs the policemen who were in charge of executing the legislation, the commands of the leader, to inform the people that they should prepare themselves for this journey. And then he addresses the tribes of Reuven and Gad and half of Menashe. We remember from the Torah, from Sefer Bemidbar, that the tribes of Gad and Reuven and later half of Menashe decide to stay in the Transjordan, to settle there because of the appealing pasture that was available there. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu made a deal with them. At first he objected to it. He made a deal with them that if they would be willing to go with everybody else and lead the charge to carry out the conquest of the land of Israel, then they would be permitted to return and to possess the land that they wanted in the Transjordan. And they agree to this, they promise to it, they swear to it, and Yehoshua reiterates and ratifies this promise. B'nei Reuven, B'nei Gad, and half of the tribe of Menashe again reaffirm their commitment to keep their side of the deal, which they indeed do carry out as promised. And then we find at the end of the perek that the people say to Yehoshua, and specifically this is in the coming from B'nai Reuven and B'nai Gad, but it appears to represent the entire Jewish people. They say, Kechol asher shamanu el Moshe, just as we have listened to Moshe, Ken nishma elecha, so will we listen to you. As long as Hashem is with you, like he was with Moshe. And anybody who goes against you, who rebels against you and doesn't listen to you, will be put to death. Rak chazak ve'ematz, just be strong and courageous. And so we see that really what B'nai Reuven, B'nai Gad here, the conclusion of that discussion is really representative of the attitude of the entire people, not just Reuven and Gad, but it's really the response of everyone to the commands of Yehoshua, that they're going to accept his leadership provided Hashem remains with Yehoshua. And they use the term again, chazak ve'ematz, which brings us back to what Moshe Rabbeinu initially said 3 times, once to the people and twice to Yehoshua, about his entry into the land of Israel. Chazak ve'ematz evokes memory memories of Moshe Rabbeinu. It evokes memories of the appointment of Yoshua. It reminds Yoshua that he must be strong, but he must also be faithful to his task in carrying out the mission and the purpose as laid out by Moshe Rabbeinu, as laid out in the Torah from Hashem to us. And so therefore, the people remind Yoshua as well, as long as he is true to the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore continues to be the beneficiary of the providence of Hashem upon him, then they will remain loyal and committed to Yoshua, just as they were to Moshe.